Welcome back. This is Kelly Gregg, and this is the podcast Health Topics by Kelly Gregg. This is number two in the series, and it's called Weight Loss for Women. As I explained last time, I wrote a few articles trying to get a job with a magazine for women. Needless to say, they have rejected my attempt. Now I have a podcast, and I am the editor, and I think it's really good enough for this podcast, so I'm going to publish it myself. The information you need is on my website, kellygregg.com, where you will find my other podcast, which is Diet and Health by Kelly Gregg, in which I give you a condensed synopsis of my book, Diet and Health. The purpose of my website is to make it easy for you to buy the book and also to market the book. I got tired of making podcasts just on diet and health, so now I've also started making some on health topics. This podcast is not particularly designed to get you to buy the book. However, my wife now tells me that I need to emphasize that it is to get you to buy the book. To start out, we need to be clear. We are talking about fat loss, not necessarily weight loss. Normally, a fat loss diet would not discriminate as to sex, but there is a particular fat loss diet which may lead to more success among women. This is going to be the ketogenic diet. I know most of you know what it is, but a little explanation is in order. To start with, you eat carbohydrates, protein, and fat. Right now, all we really care about is carbohydrates, especially glucose. Glucose is a simple sugar, as is fructose and galactose. Sucrose is a combination of fructose and glucose. Lactose, a combination of galactose and glucose. Maltose is a combination of two glucose molecules. Starch is just many long chains of glucose molecules. So you can see, glucose is going to be the king. You eat carbs and you absorb mainly glucose. Almost all the cells in your body like to use glucose for energy. It gets rapidly absorbed and the liver promptly dumps it into the blood. The pancreas rapidly responds with an insulin surge. Insulin promotes the absorption of glucose into the cells of the body. Your brain is so important that it doesn't need insulin to absorb glucose. Your body really likes energy and doesn't want to lose any of this valuable glucose. Hence the insulin's effectiveness, as it needs to lower the glucose level in your body to prevent any from going out through the urine. If the glucose level gets too high, it starts escaping in urine and is lost forever. One way to save glucose is to store it as fat. Your fat cells are quite active. Glucose in the blood elevates insulin levels, which triggers the fat cells to begin absorbing glucose and turning them into fatty acids, which are then combined to form triglycerides, which is the storage form of fat. If the glucose goes down, glucagon is stimulated to be released, which causes the fat cells to convert the triglycerides back into fatty acids and secrete it into the blood. Fat cells can't change it all the way back to glucose, so it just puts out fatty acids. And this sounds easy enough. We eat, get glucose, insulin goes up, and get saved as fat. We stop eating, insulin goes down, fat starts putting out fatty acids in the blood for energy, and everybody's happy. Of course, your body needs the energy to operate. Only about 20% of the energy is used for exercise-like events. The rest is used just to keep everything operating. For years, your body kept this in balance. Most people ate when they got hungry, then they stopped eating when they were full, and didn't eat again until they got hungry again. For years, this worked almost perfectly. Your body weight barely changed at all. Now, there are various set points in the body, and your body energy set point caused you to be hungry when your body needed energy. So if you exercise more, you were slightly hungrier. And if you laid around and didn't do anything, you weren't quite as hungry. Hence, you didn't eat as much. Recall I just told you, even if you did nothing, 80% of your energy requirement is there just to keep you alive. Everyone just did what came naturally, and there was not a 40% incidence of obesity, prediabetes, and diabetes as there is today. So for the previous 5,000 years, we didn't have this epidemic of obesity, and now we do. As time went on in your life, you noticed that maybe you had a little extra fat. For various reasons, you didn't like that, and decided you were going to do something about it. Now, there were various reasons why you developed the extra fat, but the bottom line is that in most people, the insulin got out of balance, in that we have too much telling the fat cells to save glucose as fat, and it doesn't drop low enough, that is the insulin, or often enough, to tell the fat cells to send out fatty acids. Hence, you have too many triglycerides stored. The problem is insulin. You can't get fat without an imbalance of insulin for the most part. Now, why is it imbalanced? Well, you get what we call insulin resistance. It takes more insulin to drop the glucose level than it used to. The insulin itself is the same and still works just fine. It's just the receptors for insulin are not working as well, or perhaps there are not as many. It then takes more insulin to accomplish the same effect. Higher levels of insulin are around longer and for greater lengths of time. This is caused by a poor diet for years, and the poor diet I'm talking about is taking in too much glucose. I am, of course, giving you the short version. There are various other factors that may have induced your hunger, even though you didn't need energy. There are also factors in which you ate food even though you weren't hungry. The insulin resistance is created not only from the total amount of carbohydrates eaten, but also the rapidity of which these carbohydrates are absorbed and changed into glucose. If the glucose is rapidly dumped into the blood, the insulin level rapidly rises. If it starts rising fast enough, it may actually overshoot the total amount that you really needed. Okay, back to where you noticed that you were getting a little fat. I'm sure you figured out the obvious answer. I am just not going to eat as much. Now, everyone makes the statement and tries the reduced calorie diet. And if you think about it, it should work every time, but in fact it doesn't. In fact, it rarely works, at least for any appreciable length of time. You then could say, I'm just going to exercise a lot more. Even though, as we previously stated, exercise is a minor component of your energy usage. Still, if you exercise a whole lot more, you will lose some weight. Most people are simply unable to sustain this level of exercise for any length of time. As you get older, you get a job where you can't be off all the time, and you also are susceptible to more injuries. You could lose weight by running 7 miles a day. It's just that you won't be able to sustain that for 20 years. So as we discover, the reason it rarely works is because people get hungry. And when they get hungry, they get cranky. And they also feel like they have less energy. And to top it off, when you reduce your caloric intake, your metabolism slows down, so it gets even harder to lose weight. Almost everyone who desires to lose fat has tried this diet in various forms many times with limited success. What you need is a different diet. Now, let's talk about your brain for a minute. It is the boss of your body. The brain uses glucose for energy, but unlike other organs, it cannot use fatty acids. So if you reduce carbs, your glucose level starts dropping. Your liver has about a day's worth of glycogen, which it can draw upon to replace glucose, but after that it starts to run out. Your liver can also make glucose from protein, but it takes a little while for that process to get going. In the meantime, the rest of your body is happily using fatty acids for energy, but your brain may be running out of glucose. It turns out that as the fatty acid production of the fat cells increases, your liver can turn these into a ketone body. This is essentially a partial metabolism of the fatty acid, which can be used by your body, including your brain, for energy. So your brain becomes a little more satisfied, and combined with the new glucose your liver has been making, it can function fine. The rest of your body is using fatty acids for energy. Fatty acids have about twice the amount of energy as carbohydrate, and your body is content with that. So what we want is less insulin, which means we need less glucose, which means we need fewer carbs. Since we started this process because we wanted less fat, that means we want more of the triglycerides turning into fatty acids, which therefore means more ketones are going to be formed. So the answer seems easy. Eat fewer carbs. I assume you know what carbs are. If not, they are listed on almost all the food you buy. You can always get the phone app and eventually count every carb you put in your mouth. Fiber is composed of long chains of glucose molecules. These are bound together in a manner such that you do not have the enzyme to digest it. Hence, when you count the number of carbs, you get to subtract the amount of fiber, as you can't extract any energy from it. By now, you have heard of the low-carb diet. That puts you in a different metabolic state. Just like the reduced-calorie diet puts you in a different metabolic state. Don't forget fasting. That is also a different but metabolic state. We need to get it straight. Starvation is fasting with a depleted fat supply. If you have fat, you are not starving. Neither I nor anyone else recommends you get into a starving metabolic state. The fasting metabolic state is different from all the others and is different from a low-carb state and ketogenesis. Ketogenesis is a state in which you have ketones in your urine. This means you are making plenty of fatty acids, which are then being changed by the liver into ketones. This does not happen unless your insulin level is low and you are converting the triglycerides into fatty acids instead of converting glucose into fat. Well, this is exactly what we want to do. This is convenient as we can go down to the store and buy ketone urine sticks pretty cheaply. We have now determined that if you have measurable ketones in your urine, you are in ketogenesis. You get there by lowering your carbs enough. Now you may be asking the question, how low of a carb intake do I need to get into ketogenesis? It is not zero, but it is fairly low. This varies with different people who have been on different diets, but usually it is somewhere between 50 and 25 grams of carbs a day. It doesn't matter, as you just keep lowering your carb intake till you get there and stay there. As long as the stick is positive, you are losing fat. Why is this the best fat-losing diet for women? There may be some evidence that women get more cravings for food than men. This is physiologic and inherent in the brain and anatomy, and that's just one of the facts of life. That is not to say you cannot overcome these cravings. It's just somewhat more difficult in women. You may have noticed I have not mentioned fat or protein. That's because you can eat all you want. Now, within reason, of course. This is why this diet has become popular. You can control hunger in the usual way by eating. Look up the food, determine the carbs, keep the level down to maintain ketosis, and eat as much as you want. This both facilitates getting rid of cravings, but also alleviates hunger. You can also help cravings by stimulating your other taste buds. Unfortunately, many of us are addicted to sweets, and there will be a withdrawal process. You may just need to eat more pork rinds. There will also be a period at the beginning that we call the keto flu, as your body is adjusting to fatty acid utilization. You have to tough this out and just eat more protein and fat. Fortunately, it ends up that eating fat may suppress your appetite and make it easier to stay on the diet. In fact, some people believe this is the main reason people lose weight on the keto diet, is that you're simply not as hungry and you don't eat as much. One of the main problems is boredom with this type of food. With little effort, you can look up one of the thousands keto recipes and actually eat something different every meal if you wish. How long should you be on this diet? You should set a reasonable weight goal, and I don't mean the weight you were at when you graduated from high school. Stay on the diet until you reach the goal. If you were fasting for 382 days, you would lose about 0.7 pounds a day. I would say this is about the maximum reasonable amount of weight loss we can expect. After an initial surge, yours may be less than that. As long as you are in ketosis, you are losing fat. Now, I insist you use your common sense. You can defeat this diet by eating 2 pounds of bacon a day. Also, remember we started this to lose fat, not weight. If you start going on a weightlifting program, you may decrease the amount of weight you lose, but not the amount of fat you lose. You just gain muscle weight. This is a temporary fat loss diet, and you cannot be in ketosis forever. This is not particularly a healthy diet. As you will notice, we eat few vegetables and few fruits. We are going to consider the risk of the diet as opposed to the risk of being overweight. For almost everyone, being on the diet for a few months is worth it. There are possible elevations in cholesterol, possibly increases the risk of gout in some people, and may increase the risk of kidney stones and other problems. At the same time, insulin resistance definitely increases your risk of developing diabetes, which is much worse than the risk involved in a ketogenic diet. Back to my insisting you use your common sense. If you are not completely healthy, maybe you should see someone in the health provider area to make sure you're not going to have a problem with this. If they just recommend the exercise more and eat less diet, maybe you want to get a second opinion, or you may just tell them you've already tried that a half dozen times and it didn't work. If you lose weight and go back to the same diet you were on before, I think the same thing is going to happen to you and you will become obese again. You need to be on a different diet. Everyone will not succeed on the ketogenic diet. If you eat carbs, ketosis goes away and all bets are off. Maybe you should try again later when you have a better outlook or a little more support. The diet is still more successful than any of the reduced-calorie diets. I have written a book, Diet and Health, and I market this book through the podcast. If you desire to buy it or more information, you go to my website, kellygregg.com. I do go in much more detail about the ketogenic diet, but actually talk about many other topics, including that diet I want to get you on after you lose weight.